بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected brothers and sisters, inshallah today we will go over a few ayat from the second juz and the third juz. And the intention we should have when we listen to tafsir is how I can gain hidayat and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Quran is a book of guidance, Quran is a book of hidayah. Quran is my imam, Quran is my guide. That Quran will take me to Jannah, Quran will take me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one aspect of our Sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks in great detail in the second juz, it's with regards to khuruj, is with regards to striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one concept we have to keep in mind is that the objective of khuruj and going in the path of Allah is da'wah, and is to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes fighting did happen, but that was not the objective. That was sometimes out of necessity, but the objective of khuruj and going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to bring alive the deen and i'la'i kalimatillah, iqamatul deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, keep spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not put yourselves in destruction. Over here, the spending refers to spending while in the path of Allah, while in khuruj. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that this ayah was revealed with regards to us, the Ansar. That we had made such an effort in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because this is the type of tarbiyah, this is the type of, you know, nurturing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did to Sahaba. He made them such that they understood that my life, my wealth, everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever there was a demand of deen to go in khuruj, to go in the path of Allah, to invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no Sahabi would make any excuses. They were ready to go. So they sacrificed a lot. And through the sacrifice of the Sahaba of Medina, the deen of Allah spread and came alive. So after a lot of sacrifice, after deen had already come alive, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu says that we Ansar, we thought to ourselves that, you know what, just a few months, we will not do khuruj and we will try to, you know, tend to our lands, our farms, our businesses. That which we were not giving so much time to because we were so involved in the effort of deen. Now the deen has already come alive in the ummah. So now we have some time, we can, you know, take care of our businesses, we can take care of our lands, our farms, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah at this occasion. He said, a mu'min should never make that type of intention that I am going to sit at home and not do khuruj. Because that is destruction. That is destruction. Because that type of thinking will cause the deen of Allah to come out from the lives of the people. Because khuruj is to keep deen baqi, iman walon mein deen ko baqi rakhna, aur sare alam mein deen ko zinda karna. That the effort of khuruj is to keep the deen alive in the lives of the believers and to establish deen throughout mankind. So if khuruj is delayed and khuruj is stopped, then this is to put ourselves into destruction. So just like salah is the command of Allah, khuruj in the path of Allah is a command of Allah. Allah emphasizes this in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. So whenever the demand of deen is presented to you, then you must say labbaik, because we say سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. This is the khulas of Quran, just like I said yesterday, that we are completely submitting to Allah. اُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَفَّةِ. We don't ask why. We don't ask any questions like Bani Israel used to ask. We accept and we obey because our goal is to make Allah happy and our real goal is Akhirah. This dunya was never our goal. The real goal is Akhirah. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, many other commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have also been explained. Because my dear respected brothers and sisters, you have to understand, Quran is Kalamullah. Kalamullah has everything in it. There's nothing missing in Quran because this is Kalam of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that tafsil kulli shay. We explain to you the tafsil and the explanation of everything in Quran. So every aspect of life will be here. With regards to nikah, a lot of commands of nikah are mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. A lot of commands of talaq are also mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. A lot of commands of... Just because the commands of talaq are mentioned doesn't mean that Allah is encouraging talaq. No, that doesn't mean that. Right? What it means is that if after exhausting all possibilities of reconciling between wife and husband, then there seems like there is no option but to divorce, then Allah has laid out the rules of how to give that divorce. So just because something is in Quran doesn't mean Allah is encouraging it. No, this is book of Allah. Allah explains everything in Quran, every aspect of life. So therefore, these commands have been mentioned in great detail. Also, when the wife is going through her monthly cycle, how the Yahud, they used to go to one extreme. They used to not even like to stay in the same house as their wife who was going through the monthly cycle. They would have her live in a separate house. They would not even eat with her. They would not even talk to her, etc. The Yahud were on one extreme. And the Nasara were on the other extreme, that they would allow everything to happen, even relationship, while the monthly cycle is happening. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, everything else you can do. You can eat, you can talk. Everything is possible. Just the actual act of intercourse, that will be impermissible while the wife is in the period of hayz. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. Also with regards to talaq, a lot of detail is mentioned that don't just give divorce without thinking. This is something that causes regret and remorse. I often tell the brothers that this should be a word that is out of our vocabulary. This word talaq should never be used. The only time it is used is when under the supervision of ulama, after all possibilities of counseling have been exhausted. Only then, under the supervision of ulama, then that word may be uttered if the instruction is given by the ulama. Otherwise, that should be a no-no. That word should not even come into our vocabulary. So many people, their lives are ruined because they use their tongue loosely. They don't think before they speak. And the worst is that they say three talaqs, even though that is not the permissible method. Allah is saying how to give talaq also. If that need arises, how to give talaq? Only one at a time. Because if somebody gives three, that is haram. That is haram. That is not permissible. And then that wife will be forbidden for him forever. So many people come and they say, we gave three divorces, what to do now? But after you've already done the sin, then how can the mufti reverse the cycle? That is not possible. So now there's no choice but to regret. So therefore, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning these commands in great detail of how the procedure is in all of these a'mal. So therefore, the guidance of ulama should be sought, you know, especially when nikah is happening. Anyone who is getting married, they should go sit in the company of ulama and try to find out before they get married all the details with regards to nikah and talaq. Before praying salah, it is farz to know how to pray salah. Yes. Before fasting, it is farz to know how to fast. Unfortunately, we get our children married, but we don't teach them the halal and the haram in marriage. So it is farz to know what is halal and haram in nikah before nikah. That is also important, but that we don't understand. So therefore, this is also a very more important aspect of our deen. In the third juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes mention of life after death. Very interesting. Allahu Akbar. You know, this is one concept, this one aqidah, life after death. If that aqidah becomes weak, then a person will not be able to, you know, have istiqamat on deen. He will not be able to make akhirah his objective. Therefore, the yaqeen of akhirah and the yaqeen of life after death has to be firm in the heart. Then a person will be able to make all the sacrifices for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this yaqeen Allah instills within the hearts of the believers. One incident is of Uzair alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was passing by one nation or one village. And that village was completely destroyed and annihilated. So he thought to himself, "Anna yuhyi hadhihi Allahu ba'da mawtiha," that now this village is completely destroyed. I wonder how Allah will. He didn't have doubt. There was no doubt in his heart, but he just wondered how. It's interesting. I want to know how Allah will bring this. How Allah will bring this village back? You know, when you go to a place where it's completely destroyed because of a hurricane or any disaster, you think, I wonder how this is going to come back alive, subhanAllah. You know, so that type of thought, right? Not that he had doubts, no. But he had that wonder, how, what method would Allah use? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave him death for 100 years. فَأَمَاتَهُ اللَّهُ مِيَةَ عَامٍ 100 years, Uzair alayhi salam died. And then Allah gave him life once again. ثُمَّ بَعَثَ. And then Allah asked Uzair alayhi salam, كَمْ لَبِثْتَ. How long were you remaining here while in a state of death? He says, لَبِثْتُ يَوْمًا وَبَعْضَ يَوْمًا. Maybe one day or a portion of the day. Why? Huh? One reason was because when he looked at his food, the food had لَمْ يَتَسَنَّ. The food had not gotten rotten. And we know that if you leave food outside, how quickly the food gets rotten. But the food was not rotten. It was fresh as was the first day. Allahu Akbar. So he thought, how can I have been sleeping here or dead here for so long? Not possible. Food is fresh. So Allah says, وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِكَ. Huh? لَمْ يَتَسَنَّ. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حِمَارِكَ. But look at your camel, or not camel, look at your donkey. Look at your donkey. How it has completely decomposed and how it has completely finished. SubhanAllah. So one hand, the donkey is completely decomposed and nothing is remaining except the bones. And on the other hand, the food is fresh as it was the first day. This is the Qudrat of Allah. Allah can keep the food fresh without a refrigerator. Huh? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show Uzair alayhi salam how Allah gives life to the dead. So right in front of the eyes of Uzair alayhi salam, Allah says, look at your donkey. وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ حِمَارِكَ وَلِنَجْعَلَكَ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ. We will make this a sign for the people. So look at the donkey, Allahu Akbar. And see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ الْعِظَامِ كَيْفَ نُنْشِزُهَا ثُمَّ نَكْسُهَا لَحْمًا. Look at the bones. How we will put them together. And how we will clothe them with meat. And how we will bring the donkey alive right in front of your face. All of this happened right in front of the eyes of Uzair alayhi salam. After this had happened, Uzair alayhi salam says, أَعْلَمُ. I know very well with yaqeen, أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. That Allah can do whatever He wants. A next incident in which the life after death is being explained is the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِينِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. That when Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said to Allah, oh Allah, show me how you give life to the dead. Again, he did not have doubt. He just wanted to know what method Allah will use. And it's just interesting. I want to see it. I want to see it, oh Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ. Don't you believe, oh Ibrahim? And imagine Ibrahim, his iman is so strong. Allahu Akbar. How strong the yaqeen and tawheed of Ibrahim alayhi salam must be. So he is asking that, oh Allah, show me. So Allah says, don't you believe, oh Ibrahim? Ibrahim alayhi salam replies, Bala, of course I believe. How can I have doubt? وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِ. So that my heart is at peace, so that I can see exactly how you do it with my eyes. You know, عَيْنُ الْيَقِينَ. I want to see it happening. Of course I believe it. But I just want to see it with my eyes so that my heart can become content. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذْ أَرْبَعَةً مِنَ الطَّيْرِ. Take four birds. فَصُرْهُنَّ إِلَيْكَ. Train them. In other words, as soon as you call them, they should come back to you. Train them. And then slaughter them. And then make qima out of them. In other words, make pieces. Huh? Crush them into pieces. And then mix the pieces together. This bird in that bird and this bird and that bird. And mix all of it together. And make four portions out of them. And each portion put on one mountain. ثُمَّ جَعَلْ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ جَبَلٍ مِّنْهُنَّ جُزْءًا. Put a portion here. A portion here, a portion here, a portion here. ثُمَّ دُعُهُنَّ. Then call them. Allahu Akbar. Then call them. Come here. Because you trained them already. Now call them. According to how you train them. As soon as you call them, you will see in front of your eyes that the meat of each bird will get together with its other parts. Right in front of you. And the bird will come together, come back alive. Huh? يَأْتُونَكَ السَّعْيَا. يَأْتِينَكَ السَّعْيَا. And it will come to you walking. Not flying. The ulama explain why not flying is because if a bird flies to you, then it may be confusing that maybe another bird flew to me, not this bird. But if it walks, Birds usually don't walk. There's not a big rush of birds walking. So when that bird will come to you, the walk to you, you will see exactly that bird. And you will know it is the same bird that I had killed with my own hands. I had slaughtered with my own hands. So this is the Qudrat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And this happened right in front of the eyes of Ibrahim alayhi salam. My dear respected brothers and sisters, one last few verses I will mention inshallah. Just like Allah has purchased our body, our body doesn't belong to us. We are supposed to use our body to obey and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like that, our wealth also does not belong to us. We should spend our wealth for the sake of Allah. And Allah is so generous that when we spend our wealth also, Allah will multiply it many folds. We spend $1, Allah will increase that to $700. Allah will give us 700 times reward. وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah will increase as much as He wants. Allah will continue to cause it to grow. 1 cent we spend, Allah will cause it to grow. Allah, this is how generous Allah is. That's why there's no comparison between dunya and akhirah. If a person of Jannah were to look back into dunya, he would vomit out of disgust. You can take the best luxurious houses, cars, you know, whatever you want of dunya. And let a jannati, one jannati, who is the smallest jannah, look back into that. And out of disgust, he would want to vomit. That's how disgusting dunya is compared to what Allah has prepared for the believers in akhirah. Can you imagine? $1 we spend, Allah will give us a jannah minimum 700 times bigger than this whole dunya, whatever it contains. And using your body for ibadah is more rewarding than using money. Imagine how much reward will be there for spending the body for the salah, for the fasting, and for the khuruj in the path of Allah. Allahu Akbar. We cannot imagine how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. So when we spend in the path of Allah, we should keep this in mind. Allah is saying, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah will increase as much as He wants. Allah will increase as much as He wants. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you spend on the poor and needy, one thing you don't do is you don't ever remind the person of the favor that you have done to him. That is haram. That will destroy the good deed. If I help a person and then later on I remind him, remember I helped you, my reward is cancelled. It's as if I have never helped him. This is not permissible in our Sharia. It is called man. It is called man in Arabic. This is haram, because when we do a favor to anyone, we do it only for Allah. Allah will remember. That's it. We don't have any. This is a believer. We have completely submitted with our heart and body that we don't desire anything from anybody in terms of dunya. We are mukhlis. We only want Allah's pleasure and reward from Allah. That's it. This is why Allah teaches us complete submission and complete yaqeen. When we help someone, we are doing it only for Allah. We don't remind him of the favor. May Allah protect. This happens a lot. Even between spouses it happens. One spouse does a favor to the other spouse and they keep reminding, oh, remember I did that for you? No. We forget about it and we do it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. We help a poor person and we remind him, remember I did that? Why don't you listen to me now? So our whole life we are trying to cause pain to him because we helped him one time in our life. Our rewards are destroyed. If we remind the person who we have done a favor to even one time of the favor, our reward is wiped out. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Quran. Better than giving someone money and then reminding him again and again is to not give him any money and just make an excuse. Oh my brother, I'm sorry, I cannot give you. That is much more rewarding than to give him money and then to remind him of the favor later on. This is what Allah is explaining in Quran. قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَلِيمٌ. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. Oh you believe, don't destroy your sadaqat and your actions because of reminding your favor to the person and causing harm to him, giving him taklif, giving him difficulty, because you have done a favor, you think you have the upper hand over him, and now we can harm him. No, this is not right. Allah says, to remind someone of the favor later on is just like a person spending for show off. Right? A person who spends for riya, for showing off, just like he will not receive reward for his actions, just like that, the person who does a favor and reminds the one who he has done a favor to, he will also not receive the reward. So what is the example of spending for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says, كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ رِيَاءَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. The example of the one who spends for other than Allah is like a small rock. Now Safwan, alayhi turab, upon the rock is a little bit of soil. Huh? And because there's a little bit of soil, a small little twig starts to grow out from the soil. So it looks like, mashallah, something is growing, but it's so weak, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَصَابَهُ وَابِلٌ فَتَرَكَهُ صَلْدًا. Rain comes down on it, and it wipes out the sand in the soil, and the rock remains twigless. It remains soilless. Nothing is there anymore. It is so weak. Just like that person who does a'mal for riyah, for show-off, it seems like there is some a'mal there. He's doing something. But in reality, it will be completely wiped out because it is so weak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept that. But on the other hand, the one who spends and does a'mal for the sake of Allah, وَتَثْبِيتَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, and to strengthen his own iman, and to strengthen himself, وَتَثْبِيتَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, then what will happen? Allah, the example of that is like a garden, huh? On top of a hill. On top of a hill. أَصَابَهُ وَابِلٌ. Now when rain comes down on that garden, now the plantation and the fruits and the crops will double. They will continue to increase. Continue to increase. So Allah is saying the one who spends with ikhlas and does any amal with ikhlas, then even if he does a little bit, Allah will cause it to grow and multiply, and Allah will give the reward in akhir. Therefore Allah is teaching us ikhlas. That this is Quran. That our amal should be only to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. Because only Allah can give us. May Allah protect. If we do our amal without ikhlas, my dear respected brothers and sisters, then on the day of judgment, Allah will tell us to receive a reward from those who we did it for. And everyone will be naked on that day. They won't even have clothes. So the one who cannot provide himself clothing, how can he give me the reward for his amal? So therefore, only Allah can give me the reward in dunya and akhirah. May Allah give us ikhlas. May Allah give us ikhlas. May Allah make us amongst the mukhlisin. In hadith it is mentioned, the mukhlisin are the lanterns of hidayat. Through them, hidayat will come alive. Even though, we may not be doing so much, but if we are doing with ikhlas, then Allah will cause us to be the means of hidayat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true ikhlas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to do the effort of deen with our body, huh, and with our wealth also, with our life and our wealth, just like Allah is giving us targheeb and encouraging us in Quran.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa lam tughfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Allahumma inna nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Allahumma inna nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Allahumma inna nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل القرآن الذين هم أهلك وخاصتك يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يقرأ القرآن فيرقى, ولا تجعلنا ممن يقرأ القرآن فيشقى. ربنا اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه ما لم نعلم, ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه ما لم نعلم, ونسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل, ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد